Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
What an exciting life we lead knowing him. I'm just going to switch to this microphone. Thank you, Jesus. He came, didn't he? He came. It's that time of year. He came as a baby. Father sent the Father's heart. The Father loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And this week coming up, it's going to focus on obviously Jesus coming and being born for us. And we're going to hear more about that tonight and next week and celebrate. But today I just want to focus a bit on what he came to do for us. And what I believe he wants to bring us all into as his church more, amongst us. So the Lord is doing a deep work amongst us this year, and even more to come next year. The thing that the Lord's been speaking to me about, and I've been in Worthing and Crawley the last few weeks, just bringing a word about surrender, and about us being surrendered to God on a deeper level, but being surrendered to one another on a deeper level. It's something that God wants to outwork amongst us, something God wants to do with us and between us. And the word surrender is, in spiritual terms, is to surrender in spirituality and religion means that a believer completely gives up his own will and subjects his thoughts, ideas and deeds to the will and teachings of a higher power. It may also be contrasted with submission. But for us, we know that a higher power is a God of love. Yeah. Amen. We're not just submitting to a force or to a person that has ideas and plans for us that are outside of our best. We're submitting and surrendering our lives to God who loves us. Who has amazing plans and purposes for our lives, amazing plans and purposes for our communities, for our nation. When we will see it, we will see it. We're going to see it. we surrender ourselves to God, okay, submitted to God on a deeper level. So as we're going through the process of a church, of reading the word together, okay, every day reading the word, we're all reading the same thing. And what that does is, as we're reading the word's living and active, so it's working in us. It's working in every single one of us, and we're all having to face the same challenges, aren't we? Because the word challenges us. We're all having to face how to love one another on a deeper level. We're all in the same boat, if you like. And we can read other stuff, you know, it doesn't stop us having our own stuff that we're reading or praying through or studying or whatever. But as we do what Pastor Clive's asking, that we're all reading the same scriptures every day, God is moving us together. Okay, one heart and one mind. And even if you think, why am I doing this? I don't get why I'm doing it. God is moving. God is moving in us together. So that's why it's really important that we do what God is asking of us through Pastor Clive in this season. And as, you know, reading through chapters in John a month or so ago, and then reading through Romans, what I love about these chapters in John that we're just going to look at briefly, from John 13 onwards, is a work that Jesus wanted to do in the disciples before he dies. Okay? In John 13, there's this scenario where it's the Last Supper. Okay, they're having the Passover supper together, and then there's a point where Jesus takes off his outer garment and he puts a towel around him. I don't know if he did take his outer garment off. Anyway, I can't remember. My head's gone somewhere else. Anyway, Jesus put a towel around him and he started to wash the disciples' feet. And for them, this is quite a shocking thing to do. That he's their leader, he's their rabbi, and that's not what they do. So for them, it was quite shocking. But I think it might be quite, we might find it a bit tough if I said this morning, we have bowls of water here, and the leadership team are going to wash your feet. What would your reaction be? Anybody? Out loud? Yeah? Embarrassing? Yeah? When do my feet last see the light of day? Did I shave my ankles? Do my toenails need doing? To be honest, that would be my reaction, you know, just putting it out there. But you know what? For them and for us, it's a really humbling thing to have done. And Jesus was humbling himself before his disciples. He was teaching them to serve one another. He was teaching them. For them, it was not so much a vulnerable thing. They were used to their feet being washed by a servant. They walked around in sandals in a dusty place. For us, taking off our boots and socks and shoes and whatever else, it's quite sort of feeling a vulnerable thing, isn't it? Or can be. But you see, Jesus was wanting to do and teach something amongst these guys that have been with him. And up to this point, as a bunch of blokes, quite competitive with one another. Arguing, who's the greatest, who's going to sit next to Jesus. Is it just a bloke thing that they're competitive, or is it women as well? I think it's women as well, isn't it? But Jesus needed to be doing something. So he was teaching them, he was wanting them to humble themselves, love one another in a deeper way, which he was doing before them. Surrendering, Jesus was surrendering and submitting himself to his disciples. Jesus was doing that. He surrendered his life. But he didn't just surrender his life, he lived out his life amongst his disciples, didn't he? He did everything. So much, all the scripture, most of it, Jesus is with the other guys. Most of it wasn't one-on-one, it was group stuff. It was group stuff that God was doing. He was teaching them to surrender and submit to one another on a deeper level. And I read a quote here, I don't know if it was Wesley or someone else said, about surrendered hearts showing up best in relationships. He was wanting these guys to get their act together because there was something God wanted to do. He wanted to roll out his kingdom purposes through this bunch of guys that could hardly get their act together with one another. Surrendered hearts show up best in relationships. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I can think I'm really submitted to God myself until I have to surrender somebody else. Somebody asked me to do something, or I have to surrender and submit to another person or somebody in leadership. That shows how surrendered I am to God. Yeah. I love God. I love spending time with him. And I can think in my own house, in my own room, I am so surrendered to him. But the rubber hits the road, doesn't it? In our relationships. And he wants us, as he wanted the disciples, to love one another. So Jesus went on in those few chapters in John where he's speaking to them and he prays for them. All who are mine belong to you, Father, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. And in one version it says, through their surrendered lives. Surrendered lives bring God glory. He prayed to protect their unity. It's really important. He says, I in them and you in me, so that they shall be perfected as one, so that the world shall know that you have sent me and that you have loved them just as you have also loved me. There's a work of love and surrender amongst us that he wants to do. One of the ways that he's doing this is through small groups. And small groups that we're running in the church or asking you, what's the passion of your heart, your desire? What do you want to get together with others and do and see happen? So there's a battlefield of the mind small group that I joined. Okay, now I'm not leading it. Someone else is leading it. And this is Joyce Meyer's battlefield of the mind. And anybody heard of Joyce Meyer? Yeah, she's a powerful lady. Yeah, knows her stuff, knows her truth, her Bible and all the rest of it. And sometimes when I watch her, some of the stuff I can relate to from like years back, and I just think, oh, you know, I don't really struggle with some of that anymore. Little did I know. Going through this Battlefield of the Mind course together, lots of stuff was coming up that I thought I didn't really struggle with. And what's amazing is God was just revealing more and more stuff to me about me and us as a group, loving one another or not, as the case may be. One of the weeks was on judging and critical thoughts about others. Anybody don't have those? It was very, very interesting. So anyway, what that chapter was doing, you read it on your own by yourself and you just work it through with God. And then we get together as a group and we just chat and pray what God's been showing us and then we pray for each other and all the rest of it. Anyway, so that particular week, judgmental and critical thoughts about others, I was writing down some stuff and I realised that I had something going on with me that had happened in the past, but I felt like I, because I had a sickness going on in my body, that it was linked. You see, this is what the book was bringing out, what those judgmental and critical thoughts can do. Either if we don't deal with them or bring them out, they can damage us. It doesn't damage the other person, it damages us. So anyway, I was writing this stuff down and I felt God say to me, I want you to share it with the group tonight. I was like, really? And God's like, yeah, I want you to share this stuff. And so I just said to the Lord, okay, if the thing goes in that direction where it's right to share this, then I will. And so it did. Of course it did. So I just said to the guys, I just want to share what's on my heart, what God's been showing me. And also what God has spoken to me was, in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So I think I've got stuff sorted with God. I can also go to other people, the person themselves, and get it sorted. But actually, it was something deeper God wanted to do. It's for me to open up and unveil my thought processes, because this is what the battlefield of the mind is all about. Confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So the second part of that verse we know, don't we? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We've heard that before, but it's in the context of actually praying with one another. Confessing our sins to each other. Pray for each other so you may be healed. So I shared this stuff with the guys and I said, look, there's something that went on a long time ago, but I actually feel this sickness that has been bugging me is related, and I want you to pray for me. So they did. But also out of that time of prayer came a whole pile of other stuff where they sensed what the enemy was up to, what God was saying. And so then now these guys pray for me on a regular basis. They pray and they guard, and God did something amongst us that was what he wanted to do. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't done what the Lord asked me to do. It's deepening our relationships and exposing any work of the enemy going on in our lives. Exposing any areas in our lives that we try and keep hidden. Okay? Because that's when the enemy can have a hook in our lives, can't he? What's interesting about going through the scriptures that we're doing at the moment is we see the love in action that Jesus was talking about with the disciples. Paul said about not being in what we've just been reading in Romans. Paul says, don't be proud. Don't think you are better than you are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Honor each other. Live in harmony. Be ready to help one another. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Peter knew the love of Jesus. He was one of the most vocal ones, wasn't he, out of the disciples? He was one of the most vocal ones. But Peter came to know the forgiveness and the love of Jesus on a deep level where he could keep writing about the love of Jesus. That love covers. He knew love covered. He knew love covered his failings. And amongst us, the Lord wants to do a deeper work of love, where love covers our failings, where we can be real, where we can be honest, where we can open up and share what's going on in our hearts and lives, where we're struggling, where there's lack of faith, where we're sick. He wants a love to cover a multitude of stuff, doesn't he? One of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about is words about being bound by cords of love that cannot be easily broken. And when I looked it up in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. That's great, isn't it? Two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So we're just sharing life, being real, being honest, praying with one another, standing with one another, standing back to back with one another and tackling the enemy, not each other. Does that make sense? Pastor Clive said recently, didn't he, agreement together is not in a prayer meeting, but it's in a lifestyle. That's so powerful, isn't it? It's a lifestyle of being open, of agreeing and standing with one another. When we're honest and open, it gives others permission. When I'm honest and open, it gives other people permission to be honest and open and be real. Yeah? And that's what Jesus was like. No secret battles with our own sin. No secrets. No secrets. No addictions. No idols in our lives. But freedom where we can say, and Jesus said, the devil has nothing on me. The devil has nothing on me. Because we can be open and exposed. Darkness gets exposed and light comes. The reason for all this is God shifting us out of any restriction that's in our lives. Any restriction. He wants total freedom in our lives. Because he came to give us life in all its fullness, didn't he? Totally kingdom life. So it requires submission. It requires humility. It requires us to reveal stuff that's going on in us. But so that God can bring freedom, so that God can deliver us. And you know, Jesus coming, his name in Hebrew means Yeshua, and it means salvation. So salvation actually means to be rescued, to be free, to be delivered, to be victorious, to be preserved, and also to be wide open. If we're saved, we can be wide open with God, and we can be wide open with one another. Yep. We can be wide open with one another. Okay? No shame. No embarrassment. No reservation. But totally delivered. Drawn. That work that he does in us, drawing us out. Drawing out what's inside of us in the deep places. So that there's breakthroughs in our lives. When we want to see people coming tonight to the meeting, or coming to Jesus, or our families over Christmas, wherever we want to see people set free, we need to be free, don't we? We need to be totally free, totally open, totally honest. That releases, that gives them permission. It gives them freedom to get free. Breakthroughs in our lives. Last week, 10 of us went to sunny California. It's very bizarre going there at Christmas time when the sun's out, blue sky. And we went there to a life retreat, it's called. And basically, there's a course ran at this church, Aaron James Church, that many of you might know, where they do a 12-week course that everybody goes through, and at the end of it there's a life retreat, which is basically 24 hours where everybody that's gone through the course comes together, and they go through different sessions where God wants to then move and bring freedom and healing. And we went through that. We went to that course and went to the life retreat, and I have to say it was absolutely amazing. Some of the sessions that are it's all deep. I would say it's all deep stuff. And it's all as in a response, obviously, to the 12-week course you've been doing before. But I went, again, like this battlefield of the mind, thinking, well, some of these sessions, you know, I've repented. I'm free from stuff. But, oh, my goodness, God just took things to another level. And part of it is because I think I realised that quite often how I behave or how I am can be because of what I've lived in the past. Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah. So my thinking sometimes isn't right. Yeah. It's not perfect. Yes, I have the mind of Christ, but sometimes I think wrong things, either about myself or other people. It just, there were some things that it just went to another level, like onions, you know, like onions being layers on an onion being peeled off. And it was very, very powerful time of freedom. It was amazing. And we're going to be rolling that out, this course here in this church, in the spring, and in May we'll have this retreat weekend where everybody gets prayed for. And there was some stuff that went on in that time where something was said that may not have related directly to me, that God has dealt with in the past, but actually brought up something else in my mind. And I would go forward to the person who's praying, and everybody gets prayed for, so nobody's left out or left sitting there in their seat. And I went forward and I said, do you know what? Specifically, it doesn't, but God said this to me while I was sitting in my seat. And Just pray with me. And then God would speak something that was completely amazing. So I just encourage all of us to go through life in the new year and in the autumn, and running out twice a year, because it just takes us all to another level of freedom and deliverance and life, which he came to give us. Amen. There's a psalm, two psalms, 114 and 115, which I'm not going to look at because we don't have the time. But they're about who we are in the spirit. Psalm 115, it says there that God made and is in charge of the whole universe and all the planets. But the earth he's given to us. The earth he's put us in charge of. Can you just think about that for a second? He's put us in charge. The authority and the power that each one of us has that he wants us to move in. The authority and power. His kingdom being rolled out through our lives and amongst us. The power is incredible. In Psalm 114, it talks about when the people of God, when Israel, when they moved out, when he led them out of Egypt and into the wilderness, the sea split open before them. The mountains split open before them. Boulders split open before them. Rivers of living water gushed out before them because God was with them. Well, we have God in us. Amen. And there's amazing things that God wants to do through each one of our lives because of his power rolling out through us. Nothing hindering him. Nothing hindering his voice. Nothing hindering his purity. Nothing hindering his power, his healing power. Because we're free, totally free. Does that make sense? We can see amazing stuff breaking out through us and amongst us. More than we can ask or imagine. More than we can ask or imagine is for us. You don't sound convinced. One more scripture. Genesis 11. There's the whole scenario of all the people wanting to build a tower. They want to, they come together, they want to build this tower to reach heaven. They've taken hold of their own destiny, they're not listening to God, and they want to build something great. And what does God say when he looks at it? He says, the people are united, they all speak the same language, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. So he had to intervene, and he dispersed them throughout the nations, changed their languages so they couldn't, because they're wanting to be greater than God. But think about that reverse. Think about what God wants to accomplish through us. When the people are united, when they all speak the same language, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. When we're united on a deeper level, when we're signing up for small groups, when we're reading the same scriptures, when we're surrendering and submitting our lives to God, when we're surrendering and submitting our lives to one another on a deeper level, which is what God was doing, Jesus was doing with the disciples, nothing is impossible for us. When we're speaking the same language in the whole body, that's what God's original purpose was for us, for his church, that nothing will be impossible for us. Stuff in our own hearts and lives will break open. Hindrances, whatever, mountains that you think you can't overcome, addictions, whatever's going on in our lives, when we expose it to the light, to one another, freedom's going to come. Nothing is going to be impossible. We will see people coming in with addictions being set free. We will see people steeped in sin coming in and being set free because we are free. Does that make sense to everybody? Nothing will be impossible. Miracles breaking out. Miracles. I've seen and heard of a few things just lately that God's done in this body, which have so excited me that only God could do. Own total miracles. And some of them are situations that, because of what they are, I can't even talk about them. But God has done miracles, and I know there's more. There's more. There's so much more for us. Total miracles. Amen? It said of the disciples, it was said of them after a few months or a couple of years of them moving out as one. Taken from a bunch of guys, then moving out as one. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. It said they'd been turning the world upside down. That's the cry of God's heart and the cry of our heart as leaders, that this church is going to turn our community upside down with the gospel of Jesus, with his kingdom being rolled out through our lives as one body. Are you up for that? Anybody up for that? Some of you are. It just does mean, doesn't it? Everything I've been talking about, it does just mean more surrender to him and more surrender to one another. Some of the stuff that I know Clive mentioned, I think he mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is the program that's going to be rolling out for the beginning of February here. And he just wanted me to mention it again, that God has been speaking about upping the prayer here at Kingdom Faith. But also fasting. God has been speaking about, I know he's been speaking to different ones of you in the body because you keep coming up and saying, God's been speaking about this separately from Clive sharing it. That God, this whole submission to him on a deeper level is prayer and fasting as well is included in that. So for January, we are going to be have 36, the first 36 days of this year, which is the 10th of the year, okay, 10th of the year, so tithe of the year, 36 days, we're going to be praying and fasting as a body. Now, we're not all going to be fasting every day. I think it's like a meal a day? I think we're going to be doing a meal a day and then a form of media. And I don't know, you know, about you, but media can so intrude into just hearing God. It can just take over. And, you know, if you can't put that phone down, you can't put your iPad down or whatever you're on, you're addicted to it. You know, if you can't put it down, you're addicted to it. If it's the first thing you go for in the morning, you're addicted to it. If it's the last thing at night you're on, you're addicted to it. God, he wants us listening to his voice. Amen. Early in the morning, last thing at night. And if that seems massive for you, just try. Either one or the other, morning or night, but just ask the Lord to show you what for you is the battle. Ask him to show you, for you, where is the area that you need to submit. And as you do it for those 36 days, you are going to have a breakthrough. We are all going to have a breakthrough when we do it together. Amen? Okay, so that's from the January the 3rd to February the 7th. We're all doing that, okay, together. There's encounter nights, 3rd, 4th and 5th of January, and then the 11th and the 25th of January. So you're going to get a flyer with all these on, don't worry about it. And we've got impact nights on Wednesdays as well. We've got a vision night, January the 18th. I think it changed and now it's changed back again. January the 18th, is that right? Vision night, January 18th, all coming together where we're just going to roll out vision and strategy for the year ahead. So you, out of that, just get before God and find out what area that is he wants you to fast, when he wants you to pray, but also during the year, what small group do you either want to be in or lead? What's ticking in you? What's buzzing in you that's life that you want to do with other people? It's just really important. During that time as well, in January, beginning of February, we've got early prayer, okay, 6 till 7 every morning, Monday to Friday. Half an hour meeting with God and half an hour of focused prayer on a subject. So Mondays are on the workplace. Tuesdays are for children and young people. Wednesdays are unsaved friends and family. Thursdays are our neighbours and our local community. Friday, it's for men. It's going to be a good one, amen? Saturday morning, 8 till 9, is going to be a focus praying for the Sunday morning. It's going to be focusful praying for what happens here on a Sunday and for those that come that we want to see saved. Amen? So that is it. Do you know what? It's 11:15. How great is that? Shall we stand? Because we need to respond, don't we, to God. Yeah? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you respond to him out of your own heart? What this morning has spoken to you? Let's all close our eyes. And just, Father, we come before you as your people. Lord, you love us so much. You have invested your Son in us. You have invested everything in us. You submitted yourself, you surrendered yourself, Lord, to live in us by your Holy Spirit. You've invested your kingdom in us, where nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for us. There are breakthroughs for us. There are breakthroughs through us to happen. Wherever you have placed us, in our families, our community, our workplace, Lord, there are breakthroughs. There's kingdom life wanting to break out. There's healings, there's deliverances, there's freedom, salvation, joy, peace. It's your kingdom, Lord, your love, your righteousness, your justice that you want expressed in the earth. Lord, you want it through us, a surrendered people to you, to your voice. So right now, Lord, we just want to surrender ourselves, our time, our diaries, our whatever it is that comes between me and you, Lord. We just want to surrender it to you and say, Lord Jesus, I want to go deeper with you. Can you say that to him? I want to go deeper with you. I want to be more surrendered to you. I want to go deeper with my brothers and sisters that you have put me with. Lord, I want there to be unity. I want there to be love. I want there to be honor. I want there to be, humility and grace and love that covers where I'm struggling. Lord, I want to walk this. Can you say that to him? Can you say it to him right now? It needs to be real in your heart. It needs to be real. And it'll have a real outworking for you in this coming year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I just want to speak over Kingdom Faith right now. That, Lord, as we are united, that, Lord, as we are of one voice and one heart and one mind, that nothing will be impossible for us. Lord, your kingdom will advance, your kingdom will increase, your kingdom will extend through us, Lord. We will see change in our community, we will see change in our nation, because nothing is impossible for you and nothing is impossible for us with your kingdom power inside of us, released on a deeper level. So Jesus, we just, surrender to you. And to your word and to one another on a deeper level. And we thank you for everything, Lord, you want to accomplish in our lives over this Christmas period, Lord, but going into this new year. Where, Lord, it's your year. You come and move through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.